This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Happy Thursday night. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. If you didn't know, you should know, but I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in a home buying process with a loan that fits your life, it's real simple. Rocket can. This is a four-hour show, folks. I'm going to be rocking here with you for the next 4 hours. I get started at this exact time every single weeknight, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. We have a full show. We're going to start off talking about the Miami Heat as they take a 2-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are basically giving these games away. Miami winning 106-101. We are going to talk about that in a minute. The Cleveland Browns, they actually look like a football team. No big surprise there as they take on the young Cincinnati Bengals. Baker Mayfield looks like he remembered how to play football and get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. The Browns lead at halftime 21-13. And don't go anywhere because about 40 minutes from now, we're going to chat it up with someone who plays in the NFL, Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone. You don't want to miss that. And then later on in the show, we'll also have a conversation with Shalik Calhoun. He's a linebacker for the New England Patriots. So if you like folks who hit other people, tonight is your night. We got plenty of those dudes who do it professionally in the NFL. You can find me online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at JR Sport Brief. You can also call up at any time. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. And the show was helped put together and ran by my main man, super producer Stu Kovacs. Stu, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you, JR?
I'm good. I see the Cleveland Browns. They're playing the Bengals, so I guess that's to be expected, right?
Yeah. I mean, you never know with the Browns. I guess that's the one thing. But, yeah, it is the Bengals, so I guess we can't really overreact too much.
And then the Boston Celtics. I had an opportunity to watch that whole game while the football game started, and the Celtics are just saying, here, take the series. Here.
Shockingly, I thought they would win this series, and now they're down 0-2, so I don't know. It doesn't look good for them, that's for sure.
It does not look good right now for the Boston Celtics. And I got to tell you this, folks, if you're just tuning in, the Boston Celtics lose 106-101. The Miami Heat have a 2-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. What's the name of this game again? The fact that Boston blew another lead. Boston was ahead 60-47 at halftime, okay? And then the Miami Heat came back in the third quarter and managed to outscore them 37-17 in the third. Boston just all of a sudden forgot how to play defense. At one point in time, they forgot how to shoot as well, as they missed 11 straight three-pointers. This got ugly for Boston. Ultimately, they were able to make it a game later on. At one point in time, they got within one, they tied, they took the lead, and then Miami ran away with it. This was crazy. Goran Dragic, he started playing out of his mind, okay? He finished the night 25 points, 10 of 19 from the field, 3 of 7 from downtown. Listen to Heat Radio. Goran Dragic was cooking.
Goran trying to turn the corner, forgot the ball. Step back, long three. Got it! Oh my! Goran Dragic from downtown with Tice right in his face. And the Heat lead by 5 with 1:40 left.
You know what? It wasn't even a matter of the Miami Heat dominated this game, because they did not. But Boston is just hot and cold. There seems to be no middle ground right now for the Boston Celtics. Not at all. None. Jason Tatum gave you 21 points. Marcus Smart gave you 14. And I'm going to talk about Marcus Smart momentarily. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. But what irritated me was the amount of just three-pointers, errant three-pointers, taken by the Celtics. Ultimately tonight, not bad, 36% from the field, 10 of 28 from downtown. But just too many. There was one point, and I don't want to sound like the old guy, because I'm certainly not old, but I don't want to sound like the old guy who talks about how basketball has changed. But there was a point in the game late in the fourth quarter where I wanted the Boston Celtics to stop taking threes. I'm looking at Jaylen Brown. He knocked down some key threes to get them back into the game. But then ultimately, everything else was out there clanking. Marcus Smart, at one point in time, Marcus Smart was 2 feet. He might have been a foot away from the basket, right in front of it. Had an opportunity to basically float it in or put it right off the glass. Marcus Smart, instead of taking the two, decided to push out for someone standing in the corner for a three. I don't even remember the ultimate result. I don't know if it was a shot taken. I have no idea. I was so infuriated by the fact that a man right in front of the basket decided not to take the shot. And I guess that's analytics here. I guess that's all sports. That's baseball and basketball here in 2020. Go for all or nothing. Go for the three. Go for the home run. Don't go for what the hell is right in front of you. That's kind of crazy. And that's just my old man basketball rant for tonight. I'm pretty sure I will have another one. And I was looking, as producer Stu said, I was looking for Boston to win this series. But I do have to agree with a lot of callers who called up last week and over the past several days and said, hey, the Heat, and not necessarily because of their depth, but because of, quote unquote, their grit. And I know grit is a word that's being used a lot in sports right now, but Miami, just, they look tenacious. Boston does not look confident. Boston now has these leads, and they give them up. 60-47 at the half. Outscored in the third quarter, 37-17. Miami is simply playing harder. And I don't know what adjustments Brad Stevens needs to make, but he needs to put in some guys who are actually not going to quit. How about you tell them, stop taking these damn three-pointers? Kemba Walker, 4 of 11 from downtown. Jason Tatum, 0 of 2. Marcus Smart, 2 of 6. Besides giving up one of those shots right in the paint, Marcus Smart took a step back one time, and I said, why are you doing that? It's infuriating. Miami is showing, hey, that they are led by Pat Riley, that they are led by Eric Spoelstra, that they are led by folks who have some experience picking up some rings. This is what Eric Spoelstra had to say post-game.
Boston was really getting us on our heels in the first half. And I don't think anybody was in any kind of rhythm or disposition defensively. And a lot of it was them. I mean, they were backing us up and everything. So I think Bam, you know, really set the tone in that second half along with Jay. And then our reserves came in and really gave us a boost defensively. That just took some of the pressure off of our offense. But Bam, you know, was really assertive in the pick and roll. And that kind of loosened up some things, you know, for us.
Defensively, I used the word grit. Eric Spoelstra used the word defensively. And that's exactly what happens when you allow a team in the playoffs to score only 17 points. And Bam Adebayo, he did not have a spectacular game-sealing block. He only had one block. But Bam finished with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals to go along with his block of the game. Or one block of the game. And should we expect or should we have expected anything different from the Miami Heat? Bam Adebayo, amazing defender. Jimmy Butler, amazing defender. Crowder, amazing defender. Should we expect anything different? Derrick Jones Jr. only played 8 minutes. And even the minutes that he played, you know, last week I said, oh, well, what does this guy do? What is he going to go do, dunk? In the first game of the series, he went out there and committed a silly foul to almost extend the damn game. Tonight, he didn't score a point. But he grabbed 2 rebounds, had a steal, and he was solid in those 8 minutes that he was out there. Andre Iguodala only played 7 minutes. And at this point in time, the Boston Celtics, they have to be in their own head. I'm not going to go ahead and discount them from this series. Yes, it's going to be difficult to just now all of a sudden reel off 4. It's not going to be easy for Boston. And they have to step into game 3, having an understanding that, hey, we had an opportunity to win game 1. We had a big lead. We had an opportunity to win game 2. We had a big lead. And you can't tell me that they're not going to approach game 3 and know that their behinds are on the line. Or that there has to be a little bit of doubt as to whether or not they can close things out. I certainly wouldn't be surprised if in Game 3, just like tonight, the Boston Celtics take a 17-point lead over the Miami Heat. And it ultimately wouldn't surprise me once again if Miami came back and won the game. It's very simple. Boston needs to play like they have a lead and not play like they're in the backyard. They need to stop jacking up threes. They need to commit defensively. They need to slow down. Miami is just simply outplaying them. Miami is simply showing right now that they have more heart. Miami is simply showing that they want it more. And I thought the Boston Celtics, with all of their offensive options, I thought that they would be the squad to go out there and put up these points. And they certainly do. And then they get lackadaisical and they hand over the lead. Look, we already saw one team choke. They didn't even get an opportunity to go to the Western Conference Finals. And I'm talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. I most certainly did not think that the Boston Celtics would have an opportunity to go up 2-0 against the Miami Heat and decide to choke and throw away both games. Leave that to the Clippers. That's not necessarily something I put in the Boston Celtics DNA. So the Miami Heat, they have 2 more games to win after they knock off the Celtics 106-101. I went on Twitter and I asked a lot of folks. I tweeted it out. You can tweet me at JR Sport Brief. I basically posed the question, what the hell did the Celtics do or not do to choke this game away? The sports guru says Miami threw that zone defense at them. Jim Irwin says, yes, that's right. The Celtics choked again. Huggy D, there are only 2 guys willing to shoot. Jalen is currently broken on the offensive end. Now, I don't know if that's true. He hit some big shots at the end. I wish with all of his athleticism, he would go to the basket a whole lot more. Darrence, He says the Celtics turned the basketball over too many times, and that is certainly true. The Boston Celtics finished the game with 20 turnovers. This is ugly. Kevin Lewis says Boston got out-hustled by two veterans. Stage one, bad clock management by the Celtics. Things were ugly. Things were ugly. I'm not necessarily going to come and change my mind on who I suspected would win. But the momentum is certainly in the Heat's favor right now for the Heat to go to the NBA Finals. Tell me that wouldn't be a little bit of karma. It was brought up last night, and we would be getting ahead of ourselves. But wouldn't it be something if the Miami Heat took on, let's say, the Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James had an opportunity to try to win his latest ring with Pat Riley's original team? On the team that LeBron participated with, and that he ultimately left at the altar, even though he helped deliver a title there to Miami. That would be a hell of a storyline and a hell of a way to end the 2020 season. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Boston Celtics have their work cut out for them. They've been leading the game. And guess who's been adjusting? Guess who's done a better job coaching and adjusting? Eric Spoelstra in the Miami Heat. No surprises there. Brad Stevens and the Celtics need to get it together. We're not playing one half of basketball. It's not 24 minutes, it's 48. And if the Boston Celtics keep playing like this, they're going to be home, out of the bubble, just like the Clippers. I'm going to open up the phone lines to you, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What the hell are the Boston Celtics doing wrong? Do you believe they can come back from this 0-2 deficit? I believe they can. But they haven't shown it. They've shown that they're on their way to being the Clippers right now, giving away and giving up games. 855-212-4CBS. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. So much more to talk about outside of the Miami Heat and the Celtics. Speaking of chokers, we will also talk Kawhi and Masai Ujiri of the Toronto Raptors. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Boston Celtics blow another lead. The Miami Heat defeat them tonight 106-101. The Heat have a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat played harder. The Boston Celtics missed some shots. They turned the ball over. It seemed that they were very complacent when they had the lead, and Miami just outplayed them. Miami's defense was amazing. And Malika Andrews is now also reporting that post-game, Marcus Smart was in the locker room screaming at one person or several people. The yelling continued as Marcus Smart left the locker room, swearing. She says there were loud clanks, like someone was throwing items in the Celtics locker room. Coach Brad Stevens, he said, guys were emotional after a hard game, a hard loss. This is what Jaylen Brown had to say after all of the commotion in the Celtics locker room postgame.
He plays with passion. He's full of fire, and that's what I love about him most, to be honest. You know, he has that desire and that will, and we need him to continue to have that. You know, it's ups and downs with families all the time, but, you know, we embrace each other for who we are and who Marcus is. I love him for it. So we got to get ready to come back, take that same fire, and add it to game three.
Well, you better take that fire and, act like you're playing a basketball game and not treat the Miami Heat like they're pushovers. Miami is whooping on them right now. Phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you believe that the Celtics are done? What do you think has to happen for them to come back in this series? When necessary, the Heat has put the clamps on them. 855-212-4CBS. The line is sponsored by Geico. And right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Go to geico.com to learn more. Matt, he's calling up from Massachusetts. Matt, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think is going on with the Celtics?
How much time am I allowed, JR?
I mean, well, let's see, Matt. Go ahead.
About everything's going wrong right now with the Celtics. By the way, hope you are well during these times. I'll tell you, 2020, it's been a mess, and the Celtics are in a bad shape right now, JR. And I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with this team. They're front runners. They are good when they're ahead. When the games are tight, they get tight. And I've said this before, and I'll say this again, JR. When it comes to watching the Boston Celtics, when it's good, they are on top of the world. When it's bad, you see tweets like what Malika Andrews just now. This team, when things don't go well, they don't handle adversity well. And one other quick thing I just want to mention. The narrative of, well, just get rid of Kyrie Irving and the Celtics are fine again. Well, how's that working out? Marcus Smart just threw a chair across the room in the direction of Jaylen Brown. JR, I'm not a smart man, but doesn't sound like to me this team is going to be able to come back. And one last thing, Miami, all my respect to you. You are earning this series lead right now.
They most certainly are. And thank you, Matt, for calling up from Massachusetts. Yeah, I mean, well, what good is one of your teammates if you knock the living hell out of him? What good is one of your teammates if, you know, you injure him in the locker room after a game? Boston Celtics not showing too much poise on the court or in the locker room right now. It's obvious. Yeah, you can be brothers and you can fight, but you got to think about the chemistry. You have to think about your composure. You have to think about the big picture. Mitchell is calling up from Miami. Mitch, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What are your thoughts on the series so far? Miami is putting the clamps on them.
It's really unfortunate. It's been a death tonight, JR. There's been a death tonight. The obituary reads like this. Boston Celtics choke and then are suffocating. Suffocating defense. Yes, they are. The suffocating defense by the Miami Heat. Absolutely. Let me tell you something, JR. You get
Mitch.
Yeah.
It's a very morbid way to describe a basketball game. I mean, goodness gracious. Do me a favor. Never tell me where you bury the bodies, okay?
Hey, I got enough room in my backyard for all the stuff.
Okay, back to the basketball. Continue.
Wherever Pat Riley's gone to, Lakers, Knicks, so-so, you give Pat Riley enough years, he will collect draft picks on you. He'll collect free agents, he'll collect talent, and all of them are disciplined. Like I said before, they learn defense first, and the high character guys. And that's what I have to say. I don't see the Celtics coming back from this. I am surprised that they gave up a 17-point lead. I was freaking out 17-point lead, but I have to learn to be patient with my Miami Heat, too.
Well,
and have faith that they're going to come back.
Well, Mitch, they certainly have come back. And if you want to talk about, and thank you, Mitch, for calling from Miami. If you want to talk about a team that has heart, is it really surprising from what you've seen that the Miami Heat can come back from a deficit? It looks like if you put your foot on the neck of the Celtics that they're just going to wither. And Marcus Smart is pretty much showing everybody right now what a disaster this is and what a disaster this has been for the team, for the Celtics to have two leads against the Miami Heat in game one and now also in game two and basically blow it. What are they going to do in game three? Now they have to deal with what's gone on in the locker room after the game. Marcus Smart reminding everyone of his temper. Thank you for the storylines. Certain times you don't have to search for them. They just go out there and write themselves. And that was a great point by our last caller, or our first caller. Hey, there's no Kyrie Irving here. We were supposed to be better. We were supposed to have better chemistry. Well, where is it? Are the Boston Celtics going to show the same grit that the Heat did to come back? At this point, I'd say it's unlikely. I still believe that the Celtics have enough talent to win this series, but obviously they are way too deep behind the eight ball right now. All of the momentum is on the Heat side. The Miami Heat look like the squad ready to go compete and not quit in the finals. Unless the Celtics have a leprechaun in the bag, unless the Celtics got some lucky charms and a pot of gold, this ain't looking too good for them. And if they were to go to the finals right now, I'm pretty sure they'd get stomped out just based on the way they're playing. They deserve to go to the NBA Finals. The Miami Heat look like competitors, and once again, Pat Riley looks like a genius. There's no doubt about it. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to take a break because Alex Anzalone of the New Orleans Saints, he's ready to call in. We're going to chat it up with Alex Anzalone. This man knocks people out for a living on the football field. Always like talking to linebackers and defensive ends and guys who actually hit people because you can't legally hit people in real life. Alex Anzalone of the Saints, when we come back. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Week one of the NFL season, it's a wrap, but we are already in week two. It's time to keep things moving. On the line right now, we have a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. It's Alex Anzalone. Alex, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the time to hop on. We know week one is in the books. How do you feel? Healthy, back out on the field, the victory against the Buccaneers. How you feeling?
Feeling good. Obviously, number one, getting a victory was the biggest thing. And obviously, NFC South, you know, rival. Felt even better, so we're off to a good start, and we're moving on to week two.
I can't wait to see you guys take on the Raiders on Monday night. Going to talk about that in a second. Just to revisit just what this entire preparation for the season has been like, what's been different? Has it ultimately felt different to not have preseason games, to only really practice against your own team in scrimmages? What have the differences been, or have they been large?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've been substantially different than a normal season. Obviously, like you mentioned, the preseason games was probably the biggest thing during training camp, of not having one to break up your training camp to not make it feel the day in and day out so monotonous, per se. And, you know, just good to get out there and get some live tackling in as a defensive player during preseason. Obviously, we substituted scrimmages with that. So, you know, it's different in that aspect. Obviously, there was no OTAs or mini camp in the off season. So, you know, just things that we worked around, and, you know, the league's doing well so far.
So far, so good. We're chatting it up with Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone. You get a chance to practice against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You see him week in and week out. We see him on Sunday. What do you see in the course of his preparation? I'm talking about Drew Brees, that us average fans and watchers don't get a chance to.
Oh, man, it's different. You know, I think that some videos and some clips of him doing Saturday walkthroughs before games by himself, an hour after our team just finishes a walkthrough of him just, you know, visualizing plays. You know, I think that got leaked out last year at some point, and, you know, that just all week long. You know, every time you walk by the quarterback's film room, you see him in there with the other guys, and, you know, that's just a day in and day out thing during the week. And, you know, just his attention to detail is top of the notch, and that's really what makes him so great. Obviously, he's super talented, And but that just takes him over the top to, you know, the Hall of Fame level where he's at.
Well, we certainly know he's going right into the Hall of Fame. And whenever he decides to finish on the field, he's going to go up into the broadcast booth. How inspirational is he in the huddle as well? We see it. We hear it. We know he had an incident earlier, even this offseason. He apologized to the team and made himself clear on comments about racial injustice. But I don't think it takes away from what he's done and what he's said in the community. How inspirational is he?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we see it in the, and even I know the Saints post on their social media before game days of his pregame speeches, and you know that gets guys really excited. You know, I think that it's genuine. His excitement and love for the game is genuine. That's what I think the guys feed off of, especially myself. And you know, I think just his wisdom and years of experience, and you could just see his passion in his eyes, and that's what gets guys going. And you know, it's fun to play with him.
Well, Alex, playing for the Saints, playing in the Superdome, you know about passion. I've been down to some of those games. One of the best experiences at any football stadium or any football game I've been a part of. We know that there are no fans, really, in the majority of stadiums. If they are, it's a limited amount. What was that experience like this Sunday, playing in front of nobody?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was pretty weird, you know, coming out of the tunnel at first to the smoke and everything was going off, and you know, we're coming out to no cheers, and that was pretty weird. But you know, as the game got along, kind of got into it, and you know, as a competitor, you're just out there competing, and you know, you play the game because you love it, and you know, no matter who you're playing in front of, you know, that's kind of how I go about my business. But you know, it's definitely some adjusting. It's not like that normal Superdome crowd like you mentioned. So, you know, we'll see how the year goes, and hopefully we get the fans back in there as the season goes along.
Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone's on the line with us. Not necessarily specific to you or the Saints, but when you think about every stadium across the country and no crowd noise, nobody to pump you up, nobody to disrupt signals or calls or audibles, with no fans or limited fans, does it favor the offense or the defense more?
I'd probably say the offense, but it kind of goes both ways. You know, obviously the offense, they have a lot to communicate, and getting in and out of the huddle, obviously crowd noise plays a big factor in that. But even as a defensive player, we're able to pick up on, you know, alerts and checks and who the quarterback is miking and protections and everything like that. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways, but I think it leans a little bit more towards the offense. But, you know, we get some stuff out of it as well.
No doubt about it. Alex, you had mentioned earlier on heading into week two, the Saints, y'all are going to be heading right out to Las Vegas. This is going to be the first pro game ever in Vegas. There's not going to be a black hole. Are you looking forward to that, or is that kind of bittersweet to open that place up and not have it jumping?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's crazy times with the pandemic and all of that. But you know, it'll be really exciting. Obviously, a new stadium. No matter who it is in the NFL, playing in a new stadium and breaking it in, and you know, playing against obviously a really good team, it's going to be fun. And anytime you get a chance to go out and play football, it's awesome. So you know, like I said before, with or without fans, it's going to be a good time, and we're going to play hard.
Well, Alex, we certainly know you guys with the Saints have one of the best coaches in the entire National Football League with Sean Payton. You know, this week I spent a lot of time talking about the fact that we haven't had a traditional preseason, and it's no coincidence that a lot of teams that garnered victories had veteran head coaches. Can you talk about Sean Payton and just what you see different from him week to week that you don't necessarily believe other coaches bring to the table?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, he's a veteran coach, and he's been around the league a long, long time. And, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get guys motivated. There's been stories out there, you know, in the past about how he gets us motivated. And, you know, it's just, you never know what to expect with him. And I think that's what, it keeps guys on their toes. And, you know, just, he's a great coach. Obviously, he makes good decisions on the field. But, you know, during the week, he gets us ready to play.
There's no doubt about that. Alex Anzalone's on the line with us, linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. We saw that even this week. Granted, it was the debut of a Tom Brady, but you guys with the Saints came out on top. You are great in coverage, not just going and knocking folks out. You're great in coverage. What were your thoughts on Tom Brady? Is what you prepared for what you ultimately saw out on the field?
I think half and half. I think that, you know, he brought some stuff from the Patriots over to the Bucs, and I think that, you know, that we expected that. We just didn't know how much or exactly what of it he was going to bring over. But, you know, at the end of the day, defensive football is about playing hard and playing fast, and that's what we did, and we were able to get the job done against, you know, another Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, Alex, I also have to ask you about someone on your own team on the offensive side of the football, and that's Michael Thomas. We know about his high ankle sprain, the fact that he wants to go out there and compete. I ultimately feel that he's still underrated despite the pass-catching records that he puts up and has done consistently now. What are your thoughts against competing against Mike Thomas and what the general public may not see?
Yeah, he's another guy just like Drew who you see his preparation during training camp, during game week and everything like that. This man's going hard every single down he's in, no matter what. And, you know, that's obviously what makes him great and what makes him so competitive. And, you know, it's just awesome to see. And we'll see how he goes.
Well, Alex, man, when you're not knocking heads out on the football field, what are you doing away from it to kind of keep calm, chill, and bring some levity to life?
Well, obviously quarantine. you know, me and my wife aren't really going out and about too much. She's pregnant, and we're kind of just, you know, handling business at home and hanging low and watching TV, watching film, and doing our thing. So, obviously, during the season, COVID, it would be a big no-no. So we're just trying to stay safe at home.
Hey, Alex, that's a good idea. I hope every NFL player is pretty much following your lead on that. Where can people keep up with you online, my man?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, AlexAnzalone47. So that's where they can keep up with me.
A big shout-out to Alex Anzalone for joining us as he gets ready to head out to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. I mean, there were a lot of solid points that Alex hit on, whether it's Sean Payton, his preparation, saying Drew Brees, he brought some elements of what he did in New England down to Tampa Bay, but then also some elements of Bruce Arians as well. So that was some solid insight by Alex Anzalone. There are two things here that really stand out to me. I'm not going to Las Vegas, but I am highly disappointed that we're going to see that place open. I think it's pronounced Allegiant. I think that's what it is, out in Vegas. I saw it right before the shutdown. I had an opportunity. I was out in Vegas for the Deontay Wilder fight where he got the snot beat out of him by Tyson Fury. And that was my last trip to Vegas. And I saw the place. It was basically done at that point in time. And I was looking forward to checking out the stadium. And it's going to be some time before I certainly get back out to Vegas. Maybe it'll be for a fight in a few months. Maybe it'll be next year, depending on how the world looks. But I know that's going to be disappointing for the Oakland Raiders as a team, as well as and producer Stu, you're a Raiders fan, man. Did you have any plans of eventually visiting out there?
I did. I actually have never been to Vegas, so this would have been the first time. I actually had plans, you know, nothing substantial, but there was supposed to be, you know, a week, maybe closer to the holidays. I have a buddy that just moved out there, so I was going to go to a game, experience the whole Vegas vibe. But, you know, obviously now it's totally different. I'm hoping maybe next season I'll be able to go out there and catch a Raiders game.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, Vegas is a fun town. I mean, if it's a party town. That's just what it's called. I forgot what they said about Vegas, and not the part about what happens there stays there, but actually about it being a giant playground for adults. So anybody, if you like to have a drink, if you like to gamble, if you like entertainment of all types, watch a show, get on one of those silly roller coasters at New York, New York, or whatever the hell it's called, look at the fake Eiffel Tower, then Vegas is for you. And now the NFL has dipped its toe into Vegas full time. And you can bet that week to week, you know, they're going to be eight games, including a preseason now, where opposing fans will go to Vegas and make watching the Raiders or watching their team play the Raiders a part of their trip. So thank you to Alex Anzalone from the New Orleans Saints for joining us. Another element that he mentioned, he touched upon quarterbacks, and he talked about Drew Brees and what he means for that team. Well, Bill Belichick made an interesting comment. Bill Belichick, and we're going to have Shalit Calhoun on later on in the show. He plays on the line for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. But Belichick said that Russell Wilson is underrated. That is a huge matchup coming up on Sunday. I would venture to say most of America will watch that. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about Russell Wilson. And does this guy get the love that he deserves? Is Russell Wilson underrated? Is he underappreciated? And I mean, Pete Carroll, has he had had him in shackles? Has the offense been limited? We saw Russell throw four touchdowns this past Sunday at 31, 32 years old. Is he finally getting an opportunity to really show what he can do? There's a lot to talk about and a lot to discuss. And Bill Belichick, giving people compliments? It's not surprising, but, I mean, he's always one to lob out compliments for the other team, and he goes out and beats them. So who knows if this is a matter of gamesmanship for Bill Belichick. We're going to discuss it when we come back. Thank you, Alex Anzalone from the New Orleans Saints, for joining us. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. More NFL talk when we come back.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.